It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How you doing? And how is everybody out there in Radio Land doing? 877-881-1053. Franklin Frankel text line or the Twitch or the YouTube. Take it away, Mr. Majors.
You know what? You don't ask the people how they're doing enough. You know?
You're right.
Then I'm proud of you, man.
I'm working on it.
New year, new you kind of thing. This is good that you're starting to ask the people. I have a situation that I'd like to ask you guys about. I was in my backpack this morning, and I found a jar.
Oh, no, God.
This is from yesterday. This is the yogurt that I had yesterday.
Yaga.
I left the thing in my backpack overnight. Kevin, my question is, should I eat it? There is some trace yogurt left in the bottom of it.
Gosh, no.
And I'm just not sure the expiration or the heat temperature modification of yogurt.
Did you get that, Alec?
And so, I don't know, 877-881-1053, should I eat it? We haven't done a should I eat it in a while because I've been cleaning out my backpack pretty good.
Alec, I'm going to kick this over to you because I think you have the most to gain from this. Because when he is inevitably hospitalized at best, feels like you're going to get the first shot to step in his position. So I'm going to leave it to you to determine what you want to do here.
You know, I was going to say no because I want Corey to be okay because I know especially when you're talking about dairy products, you don't want to leave them out for too long, and that has been out for a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say no, but opportunities are cool too. So you know what? If you feel like it, go for it.
Most likely if I'm still in the hospital, he'll have to do the show from here while you're at Radio Row though. Because you know our company, they can't fit. We can't do the tickets thing. That would be too much. That would be a lot of stuff. So, is that what you want? You want that?
I mean, I guess.
All right, there we go.
Man, really thought he was gonna be like, "Nah, you can be okay."
All right, we'll decide by lunch today.
Okay.
If I should use my finger or if I should use a spoon, you know, to get the what's left over of the yogurt.
Okay.
But that's how we'll roll today.
Early thoughts is. Are no.
Okay. Thank you.
From the 903, when in doubt, throw the food out.
I have always ascribed to that. If I look at the label and I'm like, I don't know, just chunk it.
Does Majors have a death wish? Absolutely not. And then I don't know if this is totally related, but why do all new shoes go to heaven? Because they have good soles.
Oh, wow, dude. That was fantastic, Kevin.
Too much.
I am so,
much.
So proud of you.
It's too much. Oh, man.
Oh.
You might have just found the way to
is
kill
that. What you
that.
Want?
No.
Is that, you want
I hated it.
Like
I hate it.
I hate myself right now.
Oh.
I understand the serial killer thing now.
Yes. See? Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and go to cut number two. Because the best offense last night was a good defense.
He'll get the snap. It's a four-man rush. He sits in the pocket. There's a line drive down the middle. Intercepted at the 50 and picked off on the play by Bullock. He's down the far side, 30. Far side, 20. Down the far sideline, 10. 5. Touchdown. Rodgers has thrown a pick six. Rodgers has thrown a pick six in what might be the final pass of his career.
And indeed, it might be the final pass of his career. Look, the game was over by then. The only real sweat in this was I said take the under on 39.5. And when Houston kept scoring defensively, I was like, hey, stop that. Because it did end
They're
up
getting close, yeah.
It did end up only being 36, but 32-6, so 36 overall points. But for people to think this was some sort of offensive showcase just because maybe you didn't see the game, it was 7-6 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I will say this, though. That was not a boring game. I did not feel that one was boring last night.
Did you like watching Houston's defense?
Houston's defense is so much fun to watch. Those dudes get after it. Now, was it sloppy offensively from the Texans? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did like their run game. Marks was really good last night, but Stroud just could not hold on to the ball. Now, that being said, there are two different C.J. Strouds. I really think there are. Because the Stroud that can step up into the pocket and make it look so casual to throw a 40-yard pass, and just he looks casual with it. And then there's the version of him that looks like, I have no clue what the coverage is or where my protections are. Do I actually have receivers on the field? There's that other version of him that looks panicked. And maybe the Steelers will do that to you. But last night, there was two different versions. Every time that he threw to Christian Kirk, it was the good version. And then every time that he threw to somebody else, it seemed like he was just kind of terrified. I think I heard Bobby say this morning, 5 receptions for 124 yards for Christian Kirk on third down alone.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, pretty significant night from the A&M product.
After disappointing some people with the big-time contract.
Don't worry about that.
Do you think this is the end of the line for Aaron Rodgers?
When they started talking last night late in the game, and they were like, I don't know, like he could wait until camp's over or somebody's in camp and say, do you need some help? And I was just like, please no. Has anybody watched him for the last?
Right.
Even it's Adrian last night was like, he's still playing. How old is he?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, 54. And then I looked and I was like, he's only 42. And then she goes, he's been great for years. And I said, he hasn't been great 4 years, though.
Yeah.
And she goes, I said gray. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Thank you. But he hasn't been. His last year at Green Bay was the start of, you could see it happening.
Yes.
And now you can see he doesn't have the legs to go along with him, and he stands in the pocket too long waiting for a play to develop.
He has not been good since 2021. So if he plays again next year, you're going to be talking about 5 years away from really being a top-notch quarterback. This year, QBR of 44.3. That's 23rd in the league. The year before that, 44.7. The year before that, he got hurt. The year before that, the final aforementioned year in Green Bay, 41.3. So he's fine, I guess, but probably subpar. The betting odds say he will be retired, but just by a little, with a slight underdog to him being the starting quarterback for the Steelers next year, 5-1 that he'll be a player for any other team. I hope it's over, but I guess he's good enough. He's decided when he gets to go out, and I'm sure some team, probably the Steelers, would give him another shot.
You think he'll do what LeBron's doing and ask the league to put a patch on his jersey for his last year of him, you know, doing something? Like LeBron's doing the thing where he throws the dust up in the air and he's wearing a patch on his jersey for the rest of the season?
Maybe.
He's like, I get to wear my own patch.
I'm
Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not sure about that, but maybe. The next question, Mike Tomlin. Now, I thought Aaron Rodgers really dropped the ball on a simple question that a reporter tried to give him yesterday to really help out the situation, because they were talking about, Mike Tomlin, and then Aaron Rodgers went on quite the lovely rant about how this culture of being on the hot seat is silly. And he was like, you take all these Twitter people and people on TV as if they're experts and know what they're talking about. He was like, I think that's laughable. And so then the next question came in, and it felt like they were like, all right, Aaron, I got you. Let's make this easy. And they said, what all have you learned from Mike Tomlin in this 1 year? Really thought it was a chance for him to be like, oh, this, and this is why I shouldn't be on the hot seat. And he goes, you know, I've answered that and talked about that a lot this year, so that's no. And it's like, are we done? And then he walked off. And I thought, man, I really feel like that reporter was trying to bail you out right there. Instead of, like, I didn't think that reporter was taking a run at him. I thought the reporter was like, here, Aaron Rodgers, here's an easy question for you to support Mike Tomlin. But betting odds, slight favorite once again that Mike Tomlin is on TV as opposed to keeping his job as Steelers head coach. But it's very close.
Rodgers definitely could have said, I'll send you a link. Or something like that. Be like, hey, I've already talked about this, here, same answer. Slight favorite for TV. ESPN then? CBS to replace Matt Ryan?
Yeah, that's a good question because I feel like, I mean, and I think it was Aikman who said, like, either A, the TV networks would be all over him, or B, other teams would be, you know, frothing at the mouth to try to pick him up as a coach.
Last night, was it his halftime interview? It was after half. I was like, dude, did he just try out for TV? Everything he said was so perfect. And I know I've heard Mike Tomlin talk plenty of times. He's great. He's thoughtful. He understands the game. I would run through a mountain for the dude. Seriously. People say a wall, that's fine. Thicker than that, mountain. That dude can really motivate some people. He has some bad quarterback plays.
Okay.
Hearing him talk, I was like, I would listen to that dude either be an announcer or be a studio guy.
Okay, since you just said the quarterback thing, that's what I want to focus in on. So the Pittsburgh Steelers have lost 7 straight playoff games. That is tied for the longest playoff losing streak in NFL history. And I think in all but one of those games, they've lost by double digits. And I believe in every single one of those games, they have been down by at least 21 points, which that's staggering. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't seem good. But you just said something I think is interesting. So does that mean Mike Tomlin is a bad coach? Or does that mean that he's gotten teams to the playoffs that probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs because maybe he's a good coach? Or maybe the answer is somewhere in between.
All right, from the 682, he signs off on the quarterback so he doesn't get a pass on that.
If that's the case, that's fair.
Then maybe he should hire somebody that can find a better quarterback. Like that, that's... Everything else seems to be fine, right?
Yeah.
Everything else seems to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Having Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson in the end of his, like, I just don't think those are quality quarterbacks.
It's amazing.
And you know what? He should go out and demand a better one if that's the case. And he thought he was getting a guy that could really understand the game, and they'd lean heavy on Kenneth Gainwell and Jalen Warren in their run game. And then Aaron Rodgers was like, no, dude, this is aired out Rodgers, dude. What are you talking about?
Do you think those people are like, no, he did think those were the right quarterbacks, and so he's the problem?
Yeah, again, hire somebody else. Everything else is pretty fine.
Yeah.
Hire somebody to go get me a quarterback and then let them control that. Let them take, you go do the quarterback thing. I got the team. I can motivate. I understand this game. We're always in it. We just don't have somebody that can be transcendent whenever it becomes time to be.
Do you think this is the last stand with the Steelers for Rodgers and or Tomlin?
I think for Rodgers, yes.
Okay, you think he's just going to retire?
Although that organization, based on everything they were saying in the pregame last night, Ryan Clark is like, I was talking to Omar Khan, the general manager, and he said, you know who you really love to play with? Aaron Rodgers. The dude is nothing like what we heard about him. He's come in here and he's been a great leader. He's been a great man. He's been a great friend to the players. He's grown with them. And I'm like, but he can't do the things that you need him to do. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You saw it. You can do everything you can to try and get him better protection. He still can't do all the things you need him to do. He's limited. And so you're going to have to either replace an entire offensive line and say we got the Cowboys Great Wall from years ago, or you're going to have to go find a different quarterback. So I think Aaron Rodgers is gone. I think Tomlin stays.
Okay. By the way, interesting couple of nuggets when it comes to point spreads on the playoff games. Texans have been installed as an early 3-point underdog against the Patriots. I'm a little surprised. I thought that point spread might be a little wider. And then have you seen the swing on the Bills and the Broncos game? Yesterday in Crosstalk, the Bills were favored by 1.5. By the time I went to bed, it had moved to even. Now, it is Broncos -1.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
1.5.
Really?
So, a lot of early money, or maybe, hey, common sense with the team that was on the bye and is the number one seed, so give them a little bit of credit, has... change the dynamic of that point spread. But that's a pretty shocking spread. or a shift in the spread this
Absolutely
early.
Absolutely it is.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it was a much better night, so we bring you the Mavs and Stars Super Segment next on The Fan.
Robertson. Got it. Score! Robertson! A seeing eye shot with Hintz in front. And with friends and family cheering him on from the stands, the California kid puts Dallas back in front.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. It's time for the Stars and Mavs Super Segment.
We got winners, baby.
Oh, let's start with the Stars. I feel like maybe the other day, yesterday, we started with the Mavs, or maybe I'm just making that up. So the Stars and the Kings. The Stars get the win, get back to, well, a regulation win as well, get back to their winning ways on the road, and it was indeed Jason Robertson who scored the go-ahead goal with 3:46 left in the game. Give them the 2-1 lead. DeShane added on the empty netter. And Wyatt Johnston, honestly, started the scoring really early. So for a bulk of the game, including the rest of the first and the second period, it was a 1-0 Stars lead. But this just felt like a game that they desperately needed to get that 2 points and preferably not go into overtime or a shootout again. And the captain himself, Jamie Benn, was back out on the ice, and he got a good amount of ice time.
With his visor and everything, and Glenn Gulletson said, yeah, maybe now that he's wearing a visor, he'll go stand in front of the net. Is that a shots fired at Jamie Benn,
oh,
or is that it, was man. That a joke and they were having fun?
I hope so.
But jokes are real. That's the question I had. Right now, Jason Robertson is third with McKinnon and McDavid. Will he be considered in their class if he's up there at the end of the year?
Definitely not McDavid. I think you would have to go on a playoff dominating Conn Smythe run to even get like that level of McDavid feels like he's just on a different plane than
every other hockey player.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every other hockey player.
I'm just kind of curious, like, this is awesome. This is great to see from him because, you know, there have been some struggles at times, but like he is playing pretty consistent hockey.
Oh, yeah.
And I love seeing this right now. I'm just kind of wondering nationally where people look at him, or they're just like, no, he's a great addition. You'd love to have him on your team if you're another team.
Right.
You know how people are like, oh, yeah, you'd definitely love to have CeeDee Lamb as your second receiver. And you're like, what are you talking about? And you're like, is that the kind of same thing here? Or is you're like, no, this is a true star.
It's, I think the true star part comes in the playoffs, right?
Okay.
But here's the good news for Jason Robertson. Like, you've talked about your motivating factors. It is difficult to get too much more motivated for Jason Robertson right now, both with the contract year looming and now with the Olympics.
The grudge against his country.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he would phrase it like that. I think that's a great way to phrase it. But, and, like, I don't want to rule this out. I really don't think we should rule this out. Jason Robertson is as human as the rest of us, and I bet the fact that outside of the contract, outside of the Olympics, he's like, I want to go win the damn Stanley Cup. Do you know how close we've been? Whether he wants to win it, you know, like strictly for himself, or I'm sure a whole lot of people in that locker room want to win it for Jamie Benn as well, but they have been almost, not quite, but almost as close as you can be for the last 3 years without winning the Stanley Cup. So I'm sure that's another a huge motivating factor for him, and he's been awesome this year.
Yeah, if I can't win gold, at least I can go win this this cup everybody's talking about. I do think, though, and maybe I'm wrong about this, the guys for the regular season, they play the hockey games for the regular season. Once they are in the playoffs, their obsession with the cup becomes different. And once you've been in the playoffs and missed, I think your obsession with the cup, like, you understand, I can't think about it until we made the playoffs or until we start playoff action. But that's like right now, I got to practice. I got to work on me and do those things.
Yeah. I've been really
encouraged.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I did a little bit of studying on this. If you want to hear it now, we've been talking about this for a little bit. The salary cap for the Stars and Jason Robertson. I know usually for salary cap, we talk about the Cowboys or the fact that the Rangers don't want to spend. But I looked ahead on the Stars salary cap. They have $17.4 million in cap space next year. Whoa, that's a lot. Good job. But not really, because they still have at least six roster spots to fill. And don't you think Jason Robertson is probably going to want $11 to $12 million? Rantanen right now, by comparison, is at $12 million over the span of, I believe it is 8 years, $96 million. So the thought would be, I bet Jason Robertson wants about that same deal, though clearly the playoffs could swing that one way or another.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, as a team, you have to decide. Like, it's great having this kind of talent, this kind of young talent, this kind of skilled player. Do we need to spend that to make sure we have an enforcement on defense?
Sure. And that is a fair question.
Bring Bischel. Let's see when Bischel gets healthy and he's back. Maybe we're good there.
That's a fair question, because this is still a, compared to other teams in the NHL, it is still a softer lineup.
They're the wizard with dexterity in like whatever those games are. You know, they're just like,
I'm sorry, I do not understand that reference.
They're good at, like, I don't know, is it Final Fantasy or whatever? You guys that play the games where Leroy Jenkins runs in there and does his thing, and like, you got the mage, and then you got the, you know, the guy that slings the big rock stone and all that stuff.
Did you play these games?
I never played any of these. Oh, I just saw them being played, and you always had the one guy that was very skilled. And he get knocked around pretty easy, and you're just like, all right. And that's kind of where he is. Okay. You want a big rock slinging dude.
Okay. I hope we
y'all get... tell me about this. Are the scrolls, the death scrolls of destiny?
Did you see this on TikTok recently?
No.
All right.
Leroy Jenkins. You know Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, I've heard Leroy Jenkins. I've not heard the Final Fantasy connection.
I don't know.
I'm not
what
familiar
game it was.
With that, so I was just making sure if this wasn't a trend. But it's just going to be something to look out, because the Stars have the ability to clear out some of these other players if they want to potentially create a little bit more room, or they might be like, hey, we got a whole bunch of young players that we can move up into some of those spots, which would allow us to easier absorb a Jason Robertson big money contract. But something to think about. I'm taking it from the laughs that you're getting some feedback.
Some people have said you're talking World of Warcraft. Some from the 972, Wizard is intelligence based, not dexterity. I appreciate that.
It feels like a whole bunch of different references. 469
says Elder Scrolls
into one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have not played these. All right, Excitebike, Contra.
It's not Excitebike.
Call of Duty. That's kind of my vein.
We
right
did
there.
Not have the technology Madden. For him to go up that hill and go Leroy Jenkins. If you added that yourself, that's a different deal.
World of Warcraft is what I'm taking based on the amount of texts that are suggesting this.
It is interesting to make a reference off a
they
game
know what
you
I'm
did
talking
not
about.
Play, though.
I've watched enough.
Okay. All right.
It's
like
Dungeons and Dragons.
All right.
Never played that either.
Man, we're learning so much this morning. By the way, I was looking on something from NHL.com. It is amazing. The Finnish team is going to be led at the top of both lines by almost all stars. So,
I know, it's awesome.
Yeah. So if you look at the forwards, you're talking about Mikko Rantanen, Roope Hintz, and Mikael Granlund, who I know he's not on the Stars anymore, but he was presumptively as your first line. Your first defensive line, Heiskanen and Lindell. So, like, you're talking about, outside of your goalie, of course, but four of your top five skaters to open up the play on the first line are all stars. And the one who isn't used to play for the Stars.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
So
that is pretty awesome.
I'm still going to root for America, but pretty...
You do have to ask that question still.
Pretty in on Team Finland, too.
Finland, during the Four Nations last year, got smoked. Should we have taken, like, understood that a little bit better and been like, maybe we need less Finnish players?
Oh.
I'm just asking. I love our Finnish.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying maybe Finland needed less Finnish players. And I was like, I don't feel like you can do that.
I was talking about the Stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's...
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Bold.
I asked the question, Kevin. It's a bold question.
Hey, Jim Nill liked us last time he was on. See if we can get him back on. Let Corey ask the first question. Do we need less finished players?
Are we finished with these players?
Oh, dear God. I don't know how I didn't see that coming. All right, Alec, let's try to bail out of this. Give me cut number 8, please, because it is the Stars and Mavs super segment.
Nick Cooper with a steal. And way up ahead to Cooper. He's going to have a chance. Hit the launching pad!
And indeed he did. Cooper Flagg, he had 19 points at the half. This was a game that the Mavericks really controlled in the first half, but I also don't know if it runs antithetical to what you were hoping.
Doesn't matter.
Would be.
It doesn't matter. Hold on. To like the outcome?
No, I was going to say to your strategy of losing to the teams who are worse than you, because Brooklyn is one of those teams. So if you were going to continue in the vein of Sacramento, this would have been a game to lose, but obviously the Mavericks did not.
What am I going to do, though? Go tell Cooper Flagg not to be effing Cooper Flagg after I've been telling him to go be effing Cooper Flagg? Hey, don't score 27 points, please.
Yeah.
Now go do your thing on nights. You just got to let the thing happen and understand that these things are... Now, you're right. Jason Kidd can go, I'm shorting this guy's minutes because, geez, man, I need to lose this game. He can do that.
Sure. But that feels like that would be a terrible
but last,
idea.
But last night, Cooper Flagg was in it, dude. And I'm anytime he has a game, I want to see it, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to bring this up. I know we're all aware of this because of just the general struggles of the team, plus Anthony Davis getting hurt. At the beginning of the year, the Mavericks were projected to win 41.5 games. What do you think that's down to now? If you had to pick right now, how many games do you think the Mavericks are going to win for the season?
32.
Ooh, okay. It is right at 29.5. But what's interesting about your guess is I think they're on pace to win like 31 or so at 15-25. But they've dropped down to 29.5. And so you've dropped 12 likely wins along the way because of the injuries, because of some of the other struggles. But if you're looking for team lottery, I think 29.5 would pretty comfortably put you in a position to not even be in the play-in and just take another shot at the lottery. Or even if you don't advance up, having a high pick once again in a pretty darn good draft.
Let me ask you a question. What's your love for Najee Marshall? Yesterday, listening to him talk about Cooper Flagg so highly and just the way that he just was like, man, watching this kid grow so
right.
Nice. And it is awesome to see a veteran talking about players like that. He seems like he's been a team guy since he got here. He can fill up the bucket at times. I like the guy.
Yeah, and he can play defense for you, which is obviously something that we need on this team.
Yeah. Defense wins championships.
I know he's not a big-time three-point shooter, but you would love it if he was at least somewhat more efficient when he does decide to fire up a three. Again, I know that's not like a huge part of
his game.
Yeah,
he was 0 for 1
game.
Last night.
Yeah,
make one, bro.
It's okay. It's not a huge part of his game outside of maybe like the Utah game. He doesn't shoot a ton of threes, but you would love to know that it's a more realistic threat when he does line up, because he's a really good shooter otherwise, or at least he has been inside the line. He plays solid defense, and I mean, I've liked him. I know people are going to continue to compare him to Quentin Grimes, but I've liked him quite a bit.
Okay. I like Nimhard too. I just love the way that dude plays the position. There are some foundation pieces that I really like, Kevin.
Do you view, and that's an interesting question or an interesting statement, because I wonder, just thinking out loud, are people like Nimhard, people like Najee Marshall that we like, are they true foundational pieces, or are they players that we like because this team is not very good? You know what I'm saying?
I look at Flagg, Christie, and Nimhard as pieces to grow with.
Okay.
Now, whether or not Nembhard is the starting point guard for this team, no, that might not be the case. If you go find one in the draft, if you're able to do that, but if I'm building, that's the youth that I'm starting with and running from there. So Najee, maybe not. I'd love to have a guy like that around, but those three, Max Christie, Cooper Flagg, and Nembhard, are fun pieces for me.
And one of the things that we've talked about, and one of the things that I think has been kind of encouraging over these last couple games, is losing Anthony Davis once again. You hope that you continue to see better three-point shooting from Cooper Flagg, because we talked about that last week, the development of his three-point shot throughout his freshman year at Duke. And so you hope that you continue to see that off to a decent enough go this month from the three-point line. But yes, the Mavericks get the win. The Stars get the win. I feel like they're totally different wins in terms of you needed the Stars to get back on track to continue to stay where they are, or even eventually maybe make a run at Colorado, whereas the Mavs, I'm sure some fans are conflicted about them winning. But if Cooper Flagg, look, if Cooper Flagg is leading the way to a victory, I'm never going to be like, that was a mistake to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Is Sebastian Walcott only behind one of the greatest prospects of this generation? Next on The Fan.
Walcott laces it into left center field. It's got some carry. It's gone! Go ahead, two-run shot for Sebastian Walcott.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're in the break. Multiple people sent it to me, and we're going to get to Baseball Nuggets in just a minute. The Leroy Jenkins reference.
That's your first time to see that video?
I had never seen that video, and I looked at it, and it said it had 27 million views.
Uh-huh.
So clearly, a lot of people have seen it. I've never seen it, but man, that group freaking hates that guy, because they were like standing there, and then that one guy was like, oh yeah, we got 0.3 repeating, of course, percentage, whatever, to win the raid. And then that guy said, F it, let's go. And then he just ran in there. And everybody on his team, if you haven't seen this video from, I don't know, if it's like 10 years old or whatever, was just standing there, and they're like, oh crap, he went in. Well, I guess we better go. And then they spent the rest of the video just ass-talking him.
Which 27 million views feels like a lot.
Yes.
Until you look at Baby Shark and realize it has 16 billion views.
It is the most viewed video in the history of the internet. My son has contributed to many of those. Right now, let's fire up some Baseball Nuggets. All right. So I've become very fascinated by this. Let's talk about the saga of Connor Griffin. Connor Griffin,
Family Guy,
that's Peter Griffin, among other people, is the next big thing in baseball. He was selected with the 9th pick in the first round of the 2024 MLB draft. He is with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And when I was looking at some of the rankings and stuff, trying to figure out, oh yeah, could Sebastian Walcott be the best prospect from his group? No, he cannot, because Connor Griffin exists. So if you look at the players that were born in 2006, which Sebastian Walcott is part of that group, ESPN has him ranked as the second best prospect born in that entire year for baseball. So that's pretty freaking sweet, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is behind Connor Griffin. And I want to walk you through a couple of different articles, including this one from Kylie McDaniel, talking about Connor Griffin. My pre-draft comp of Fernando Tatis Jr. So think about that. That's the comp. Probably underrated Griffin's ability to stick at shortstop, but might nail both having a big league debut at the age of 20 and MVP level projections. All right, so compared to Fernando Tatis, but that might have been underselling the kid. And then there's this article from Jonathan Mayo with MLB.com. Who is the number one prospect in all of baseball? Every prospect who exists in all of baseball combined got 11.6% of the votes. except for Connor Griffin, who got the other 88.4% of the votes. And you're like, oh, that's a lot. So clearly, he is the best prospect in all of baseball. He was also voted as the best defensive prospect in all of baseball. Now, with that in mind, you might be like, all right, well, how good is he at offense? Well, he played 21 games when he moved up to Double A after absolutely annihilating rookie ball and high A. And in Double A, he hit .337 with an OPS of .961.
Okay. All right. Before we do that, though, let's go to A ball, where his OPS was .932.
Which is incredible.
Hold on. Now let's go to A plus.
Okay.
Where he hit .942. Now let's get to Double A.
.961.
Where he hit .9. He got better as he went up. That's impressive.
And that's offensively. And then he is also voted the best defensive prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And then there's this. Who is the best minor league prospect you've seen over the last decade?
Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens is number one on the list. Connor Griffin is third.
Okay.
It goes Paul Skeens, Bobby Witt Jr., and Connor Griffin, who is ahead of Fernando Tatis, Julio Rodriguez, and Ronald Acuna. He's ahead of all of those players and only trailing somebody who at this point feels like they might win multiple MVPs and a pitcher who feels like he might win all of the Cy Youngs. And keep this in mind, Connor Griffin is on the same team as Paul Skeens.
Yeah, which means that this is right? Pittsburgh should be taking over the world this year. There's really only one year of baseball before we have a lockout, Pittsburgh needs to use this year to go after it.
Yeah,
to make sure they keep Livy Dunn in their social media world.
Right. I'm sure there's somebody on their social media teams like, you guys better never break up.
So he's done with A-ball, right?
Yes.
He's going to be a pro this year.
I think, with a chance, probably. I don't think he's going to break camp because, again, he only got 21 games at Double A, and I'm sure they're like, hey, let's take our time. Or maybe a cheap organization like the Pirates is like, hey, let's make sure that we get past what counts as a full service year and then determine
if we can
put him up to Major League Baseball. But it is just bananas to see at the age of 19 in what essentially more or less is a full minor league season. He had 21 home runs for 94 RBIs. He hit .333 and had an OPS of .941. Oh, by the way,
he struck out 122 times.
That's true. But
that's baseball.
But you know what else he did? He stole 65 bases.
Good God. So is this Shohei?
Yeah, by the way.
Can he pitch?
While I'm telling you how incredible he is offensively and also defensively, he's also fast as hell.
Yeah, what kind of human is he? You know? That's really what's going to matter the most to the fans.
That I don't, man.
Fans don't care what kind of human you are. They just said, you score?
That I don't know.
All about scoring.
I will look into that, but I just wanted to point out what is encouraging is you have the next guy. So if it weren't an all-world, all-time prospect in Connor Griffin, the next guy up is Sebastian Walcott. And do you want one more fun thing? A year ago at this time, Sebastian Walcott was ahead of Connor Griffin. So I just told you about how amazing this person is.
So he's fallen off, is what you're saying, Walcott.
But he moved up in the prospect rankings from 3 to 2.
Mm.
So did he really fall off, or did Connor Griffin just ascend at an unbelievable rate that has made him generational?
Walcott doesn't quite have the same pop that he has. He has a good sure. bat, but
and there's more questions about him staying at shortstop as opposed to Griffin.
Yeah, and quite honestly, Kevin, I think for us, I mean, he started when he was 17. There's some growing there within the organization that's lovely to see. I think we need to see him more to really have a good idea.
Sure.
Like this spring training, because we're heading to spring training after we got Radio Row Super Bowl action.
Yep.
Then we head to spring training where we'll give you the best coverage you could possibly find.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this on air. I upgraded your airline seats. I'll get not first class, but I'll give you more information.
So we're doing that. And this is going to be That's going to be my most intriguing thing to watch, is where are we with the Sebastian Wolcott growth?
Yeah.
Because what is he for this team right now? A prospect. That's it.
Does he represent hope to some people?
Yes. And you don't really want that on him, because you want your team to be so good that prospects are like, all right, here we go. They're either currency or they're coming up and they're helping the team. But right now, this is a, hey, we kind of need to see, and he's only 19. We kind of need to see this guy now, or are we going to give up on him? And I don't think we should at all. But we like this is a spring training where I'm very interested to watch the player, and there are other storylines that are interesting. But where is he on this? Because that could change a lot of things.
By the way, one more quick note, especially if you're in the Baltimore area on May 8th, the Baltimore Orioles are going to be giving away a Tupac bobblehead for their game against the A's, and he's decked out with a bat and he's got an Orioles jersey on, because he did attend the Baltimore School for Arts before he moved to San Francisco. Obviously became very well-known West Coast hip-hop, but he was...
And got a great picture out there of him giving the double bird wearing a Stars jersey.
Oh, I haven't seen that picture in forever.
Yeah, I usually do around playoffs. I always text it to
that,
people.
That does feel like a good picture. But yeah, if you get a chance, look up the bobblehead. Maybe we'll post a picture May 8th. It is freaking awesome.
Is that that's going to be a pricey bobblehead, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. People are going to be lining up for that too.
All right.
For sure.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.